Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to The Gold Derby Show on the Gold Derby Podcast Network. Welcome back to Gold Derby. I'm Crystal Rosen. I'm joined by Joy Singh. Joyce, a busy week here. We're doing this on Wednesday, I believe, right? Is today Wednesday?
It is. It's Wednesday. It's January 19th. It's the first day of SAG voting.
First day of SAG voting. So that's a big moment. We talked about the SAG awards last week, and in our conversations, of course, we talked about how Kristen Stewart was completely snubbed. And a week later, we have seen the result of that, at least in our odds, because she has just shot into the bottom. She has rocketed down on a downslope.
Well, she's not completely gone.
Not yet. She's gone from my predictions, I believe. I don't have her in at the moment, but she's nosediving at the moment. And Olivia Colman has leaped in the front to...
I wouldn't say, like, Olivia, she's like, the rest of them have been like pretty steady. Like, yes, other people have like defected to the other four or more. But it's really just like Kristen dropping precipitously. And Olivia was already in second. So she
has dropped.
She had like the advantage of rising to first.
She has dropped like the Dow at the beginning of the pandemic, where it just went into the ground. But
it was Black Wednesday for her last week.
Olivia Colman has slightly taken the lead in our combined odds. Then Kristen, Nicole Kidman, Jessica Chastain, and Lady Gaga. That's the five for our predictions odds. Still no Jennifer Hudson in this list somehow. Nobody has really bought into the she's in ninth, Jennifer Hudson, and rising in our combined odds. Ilana Haim and Rachel Zegler and Penelope Cruz are above Jennifer Hudson. So Joyce, I mean, what do you think? I don't even know. I don't know. It seems like
you're the one who dropped her completely. So
I dropped her completely just because I think she's fifth or sixth. I think that's the issue at the moment. So I don't have her in because I have like Rachel Zegler in, I believe. And let me take a look here. I haven't looked at mine today. So I have to.
I'm like on my phone finding it.
My thinking was that she just, like we have talked about, the passion for Spencer not really there. And, you know, maybe. Once given the opportunity to not nominate her, like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like people were just kind of like writing her in as an obvious nominee and a potential winner for months. And then once now that we've gotten a signal that maybe the industry doesn't agree, it's like, oh, maybe the industry just doesn't agree. So I have my five are Nicole Kidman, Olivia Colman, Lady Gaga, Jessica Chastain, and Ilana Haim. I don't have Rachel Zegler in at the moment.
Did you drop her?
I dropped her last week because of her social media controversy a little bit.
You're so easily swayed. Paul Walter Hauser isn't in the running this year.
He's not nominated, no. No, Rachel Zegler, for those who don't know, posted a monologue that she did of Britney Spears Instagram, I believe, and then people dragged her for it, and then she later apologized. The other reason I dropped her is just because I think we've talked about like how her and Ilana Haim are like the newcomers in the race. And I think, you know, maybe the race can't necessarily support both of them. And I just was like thinking again back to like the idea of passion. And I was like, I think people, whatever they think of Licorice Pizza, I still think it's like a strong Best Picture nominee. And I don't know, you walk out of that movie and you're like blown away by Ilana Haim in a way that you're also into Rachel Zegler, but I think maybe more passion for Ilana. That was my rationale. And then the other four were Nicole Kidman, Olivia Colman, Lady Gaga, and Jessica Chastain, which feel like maybe that's the consensus four. I don't know. What do you have as your five right now?
I have the four and I still have Kristen. I have her in the fifth. So
Kristen is fifth then, I would say, right? So like, even if I put Ilana out, I maybe put Kristen in as like the fifth choice. It's not like a lost cause, but I will say, I don't think she's going to win. Even if she gets
I think almost like everyone would agree that like the win is like 99% probably out of the question. It's also, it's not just the SAG snub, but With the way like BAFTA works now with the jury, I don't think she's in the top two because the top two vote getters are automatically nominated. It's the mm-hmm. Carey Mulligan rule after last year. So I think Olivia is one of the two. I have no idea who the other person is who would be guaranteed a nomination. And then the jury picks out the four nominees. And I don't, even before the SAG snub, I didn't really see her as a jury pick if she wasn't in Kristen, if she wasn't in the top two. So I don't have her in my BAFTA picks either right now.
So, right. So yeah. Now she doesn't have BAFTA, she doesn't have SAG. That's why I took her out of Oscars in my rationale. At least,
yeah. Cause I was so like, I still have her in fifth at the Oscars because of the way the Oscar nominating procedure works. Cause it's preferential. So it's ranked. So she does have her supporters. So if you really love her performance and Spencer, like there are going to be people who rank her in first. So I feel right. like that would help her as opposed to the SAG ballot where it's not ranked. So it's just whoever the top five vote getters like sure. automatically get in, you know?
So the reason I kind of like put her off then was my thinking was if you're right, that I think she will have like a lot of, there is probably a good amount of passion for her and like people like her performance and like the people who do like her performance are going to be like, we love her performance. But I was wondering if now if she's like pushed down into like the if the four, top four are like pretty consensus and then that fifth spot is going to be whoever has like the most passion. And if she's pushed into a scrum with like Alana Haim, Rachel Zegler, Jennifer Hudson, Penelope Cruz. I mean, maybe there's more passion for those performances than and then Kristen's and then she gets booted out like brief. Like,
oh, yeah, no, how, like I could see her getting snubbed.
Right.
So
it's, so then who's going to win, Joyce, I guess? Yeah, the, our odds.
I don't know. I wish we didn't have to actually put anyone in first place.
It's
maybe I'll just rank people alphabetically. I'll put Lady Gaga under L because that's a stage name.
Sure.
Not go under G.
No.
Yeah, like I just want to pick like five names and not have to pick a front runner because I don't think there actually is one. I think there are arguments for multiple people. I think most people would agree the top three probably are Nicole, Gaga, and Olivia.
Right.
I do currently have Nicole in first, but it's like it's such a weird situation with her as well. Because speaking of passion, I don't know if there is a ton of it for not just her performance, but the film being the Ricardos overall, but it could just be this sleeper hit that we don't, it's like a sleeping giant, you know?
Well, we saw like with the SAG Awards, at least Javier Bardem getting in felt like a sign that there was support for it. And, mm-hmm. you know, maybe there has been more support. I mean, just going like anecdotally based on like the variety of tweets that come out after the first screenings, right, which we've seen like all last year, I felt like the being the Ricardos response from the audience was the most euphoric, which is strange. But like from the pundits, from the Oscar pundits, like and the just the seemingly the industry buzz for that film was higher than like even West Side Story and Don't Look Up, which all like kind of screened at the same time at the end of last year. And I think that has a little to do with the fact that the expectations for it were lower, right? Like we have talked about, like people.
I don't know if the overall buzz was more positive than like West Side Stories, because that movie at least doesn't really have a lot of detractors.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying from like a critical film Twitter standpoint. I'm saying like
I feel like there were still, even like among pundits, there were still like reservations about being a Ricardo. So it was just kind of like, oh, this is like Aaron Sorkin's the best film yet, which,
right.
you know,
sure.
the bar wasn't that high, really.
I guess maybe. I don't know.
I do agree, like, there were lower expectations for it because people, you know, between her not looking exactly like Lucy Ricardo when she's playing Lucy Ball and like, all of that stuff. But did you see it at a Guild screening or just a regular screening?
I saw just a regular screening. You went to a Guild screening. And you said people loved
it. They ate it up.
So
and like, it was a lot of older folks as well. And I told you about the conversation that people had behind me. Yes.
So I feel like in the end, that might help Nicole. I also have her winning. This is a great race, though, because like I don't think there is a front runner, really. Like, I think we'll see like Nicole probably win at SAG. But if she didn't win at SAG, I wouldn't be totally surprised. I mean,
I think SAG is her or Gaga.
Right. Now, if Gaga wanted SAG, then all of a sudden, I don't even know. Then who? Like, it just is a wide open race. It even feels more wide open than like when Olivia Colman won for The Favorite, because like that year you had like Glenn Close was such an obvious pick that everybody felt.
Well, like that wasn't. I wouldn't say that was like an open race, because yeah, like Glenn was.
So it's just like
Olivia was just an upset winner.
Sure. So I'm like, this feels like way different than even that. I don't even know. I don't know who you end up having at the top here.
No, this is more open than last year, because last year, at least we had the obvious five, even though Andra Day was probably the most vulnerable because her movie was so late and people were doubting Vanessa Kirby, and she was one of two people who made every single precursor along with Frances McDormand. I don't, because it'll be funny if, you know, either Nicole or Gaga wins SAG and neither of them making it at BAFTA. Right. Because I'm prepared to, if like, let's say Nicole wins SAG and she gets into BAFTA, I don't think she's winning BAFTA. But if she gets that nomination, I am prepared to say like she's winning the Oscar.
Right.
But, you know, if Nicole wins SAG and Gaga makes it into BAFTA, I'm like, I don't know, maybe it's Gaga. But if neither of them makes it in, I guess that would also depend. In that case, it would be like which has the stronger movie overall, like with like BAFTA nominations and Oscar nominations.
And then in that case, is it Gaga? Do we go back to her? Because I think House of Gucci has a shot of getting more nominations than Being the Ricardos, even though I think Being the Ricardos could conceivably get like, I don't think Nicole would be a lone nominee, because I think you could get like Javier Bardem in possibly for Best Actor, or maybe like a Below the Line bid and like screenplay certainly. And, you know, maybe even something like production design or one of those like long shot craft nominations. But I feel like House of Gucci has a much better shot at getting like, in a best picture than Being the Ricardos, though it would be like a bottom best picture for me.
Do you have Gucci in picture? Because I know a lot of people were putting it in picture after last week.
I did put Gucci back in
for picture. 13 long list mentions at BAFTA.
I did put Gucci back in for picture, because I just think that it does seem like we had talked about Spider-Man was maybe the populist pick, but maybe actually it's House of Gucci. That like it was the most seen in, at least at the box office, from the adult drama standpoint. It has Ridley Scott's brand, and like he had a big year with like with two different movies that one maybe should have done better, Last Duel, and maybe we both agree that Last Duel is slightly better than House of Gucci as an enterprise. But he has like impeccable crafts and all these different things, and I have Lady Gaga and getting in for Best Actress, so I felt like seemingly, you know, House of Gucci could get in for Best Picture. I took Jared out, though, Jared Leto for Best Supporting Actor, which we could also talk
about. But you did that a while ago.
Yeah, I did, but I thought about
it. You didn't put him back in
after SAG. I didn't put him back in after SAG. Okay. I'm riding or dying with Ben Affleck there, just as a hope diction. Because even though I
just want to say The Last Duel is now on HBO Max, so please watch it.
Pretty great. Great timing.
Yeah.
And House of Gucci is going to be on VHS. It's on VHS.
Yeah.
House of Gucci is going to be
on VHS. Do you still have a VCR? Release.
I do have a VCR, actually.
I don't have a VCR, but I have so many VHSs.
Oh, you should send them my way, because I can watch them here on this very TV.
Okay, I'll bring them all over.
Okay, great.
I have like the series finale of 90210 and Boy Meets World on the same VHS.
That's awesome.
I briefly put Gucci back into picture, and then I just dropped it again. For Macbeth, I put Macbeth back in.
Wow.
And I'm just going to wait until next week with PGA noms to get more clarity on who like the last two or three spots could go to. So that's where I am right now. Because I, even though Gucci got those 13 BAFTA mentions, like as we saw last year, a lot of those leading BAFTA long lists films, they didn't manifest in a lot of real nominations.
Right.
And, you know,
so. I guess I'm going to keep, like you said, there's a lot of places this could go. I'm not going to switch Nicole yet. I'm going to have her still winning.
I'm going to have her in there until, at least BAFTA nominations, February 3rd. So
if she gets into BAFTA,
voting closes February 1st.
Right.
So the BAFTA nominations can't affect Oscar voting.
Right.
But
Well, we know she's getting nominated.
Preview of what we could expect on February 8th.
Right. Yeah. Also, I mean, so I think Nicole's going to, I don't know. It is a pretty incredible category though, because without a front runner, it does feel like all of these performances are, you could make the case against all of them. I guess though, if Olivia Colman, I don't know. I just, would you be surprised if she won at this point?
No.
No. Okay.
Well, because also, as we talked about last week, the fact that she made it into SAG is huge for her, because that's just not the typical SAG-friendly film or performance. And she's the only one who is not playing a real person in that category at SAG, right. Which could also right. be the case at the Oscars as well. It could be an all a biopic lineup, which has never happened in Oscar history. One of our contributors, Kevin Jacobson, wrote something about that. So, yeah, we could have all real people, five real people in Best Actress this year, and none of them could be up for Best Picture either.
So let me ask you this as another Olivia Colman question based on that. We've talked about how there's a lot of passion for Andrew Garfield and like he's basically carrying Tick, Tick, Boom to a Best Picture nomination. And I still believe that that will happen. Is there any shot then that like we're sleeping on the Lost Daughter passion and that could be a dark horse Best Picture in that 10th spot because of Olivia Colman and you assume like Maggie Gyllenhaal in Best Adapted Screenplay and it's going to be like a three or four nominees, maybe a fourth one. I don't even know where it would be. But at least
I guess like Jesse Buckley and supporting the cocktail. Right. Yeah.
So do you think it could get in for his picture? I mean, like I will say on the pro side of that is that they have been very forward facing, having Lost Daughter out there in the conversation for literal months. It premiered at Venice. I believe.
It got its own hash flag on Twitter for the hashtag with the orange peel.
So you have that. You have the fact that it's on Netflix. It did really well at like the Gothams. It's a front runner for a bunch of Spirit Awards, presumably. Is it possible that it actually is the 10th Best Picture nominee or even the 9th maybe? And we're like discounting.
I feel like even though maybe the general public doesn't like the film as much or doesn't get it, they just think it's about, you know, this woman stealing a kid's doll. I think it will be more appreciated by the industry. So right. I could get in to picture. I would not be surprised at all. And in that case, I would say, if Lost Daughter makes it in and neither Gucci or Ricardo's makes it in, then I would Olivia's winning. She has the stronger film.
So, and I wonder if that's really going to happen. And I guess we'll see. I could also see Lost Daughter. I guess we'll see if it plays well at BAFTA too. I could actually see that a little. I don't even know. But
it had, I think, 8 longest mentions, which is really good for it. So
I guess the other thing, again, like you said, it's a different beast than any of these other performances, certainly. And it's also like the only movie of its kind, I think, in this lineup, I would argue. You know what I mean? Like it's hard to classify what it is, but it's like not a period piece, not a historical drama. It is like, you know, not a big budget like romp. I don't even know. I just am like, it has enough difference makers that I'm like, maybe it is the dark horse Best Picture nominee for that 10th spot, assuming the other 9 are set. But maybe it's Tragedy of Macbeth, or maybe it is House of Gucci or Spider-Man. I don't even know. I guess we'll see. I don't think it'll get into PGA, I guess.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. Right now, and we have Olivia and Maggie getting in for adapted screenplay for The Lost Daughter, but I could see it maxing out at 4 nominations of picture and Jesse Buckley too. We also talked about how, last month, like Lost Daughter hadn't been released on Netflix yet. So the peak or like the buzz for Olivia and the film hadn't peaked yet. Right. And then everyone was watching it over New Year's because it dropped New Year's Eve. Everyone was watching it that weekend over New Year's weekend. So it's like a right time for that movie, I guess, because it is so small that it could build up more momentum. Like it hasn't, it wasn't like really super early that it's faded from the conversation. Like it's still here. And, you know, I don't know. I haven't checked the Netflix top 10. I know it doesn't have like Don't Look Up like numbers there, but I'm sure people are still, you know, some people are checking it out. And I think, you know, some of the lower scores or like audience reactions to it is because it is on Netflix, like the irony of it being on Netflix being more accessible for everyone over across the entire world is that it's not that, you know, typical like mass appeal Netflix movie, like a Red Notice or something that you could just, or even like a Don't Look Up that you right. could just hit play and watch and like, most people will get it or be into it. But if you, even the title itself, it, you might think it's like a mystery thriller or something, you know,
right.
but it's not that at all.
No.
So I could see why there's been more divisive general public reactions to it, but I don't think that's the case with the industry.
No. And I think it is funny. You're right. It's totally ironic that people are watching it that maybe shouldn't be watching it, I guess. Right.
Yeah. Or cause you're just like scrolling across right. Netflix. You see it, you know, maybe it's like number 5 in the top 10 or something. You're like, what's this?
And, right. I know yeah. her from The Crown. She's great. That lady. We like that lady. Let's put it on tonight. Anyway, yeah. I like Lost Daughter. I could see getting in Best Picture. And if it does, I think you're right. That Olivia Colman then immediately becomes the front runner there. Is there any, before we move on to other topics of interest, is there any way that Kristen Stewart, that we're discounting Kristen Stewart here completely, totally overreacting to the SAG nominations, and that she still is going to win? I've seen people maybe float that we are being not too harsh, but I definitely have seen, you know, why are we overreacting to like one thing? It's still, she's still the front runner and blah, blah, blah. Do you agree with that?
I don't think it's just one thing, because it was... Like BAFTA was also the same day as SAG, and Spencer only got 4 mentions there
right.
too. Like, not even cinematography. You know, the only acting mention was for her, like no, like Kim Kiesfall or anybody, no best film, like Lost Daughter got in to best film, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a accumulation of things.
Right.
And you know, I'm not going to say she can't win, because you know, we've seen the past couple of years, like stats are meant to be broken, and you know, things like all the rules that we knew for the past like 20 something years or 30 something years, or at least like as long as like SAG's been here for 27 years, you know, like films have defied the odds. So I'm not going to say she can't win, but the odds are not looking good.
Right.
For her, like she could end up being a lone nominee for Spencer. If like Spencer didn't even get into production design at BAFTA.
Truly shocking. I would say like when I saw Spencer again at Telluride, I left the movie and I was like, it's definitely not the kind of movie that I would usually love, but I really liked it. I liked it way more than Jackie. And I was sitting there and being like, oh, I could see it really getting a lot of nominations. I didn't expect like Best Picture at all, but I was like, you could do best. I could see Best Director as like the 5th spot for Pablo Larraín. I think costumes and production design and score were all in play. And obviously Kristen Stewart, I really felt like maybe 5 nominations, and now I don't think I have it in once. So it's pretty steep decline, I guess.
At least. Yeah. I think if she gets in, the nomination might be the reward for her. It's like your first nomination. Congratulations. You know, continue doing great work. So I don't know. Maybe you know, maybe like Diana is just not an awards winning role. You
know? I do wonder if there's a little bit of the fact that she's one of the most famous people of the modern era. I would argue that everybody knows who Princess Diana is, whether you were living in the 80s and 90s or were, you know, a younger person who went back and like studied her or watched these things like The Crown. And I wonder if that means that people are harsher on the performances than maybe other real life counterparts. We kind of saw that with Lucille Ball, but we're still talking about like most people, I guess, know Lucille Ball from like I Love Lucy, but there's not. I just feel
and
like
she was not an international superstar,
right?
In the way, like she was more important to American audiences, than
right? Worldwide. So I just feel like when you're working with Princess Diana, everybody has like a take on what Princess Diana was and how she was in real life, and whether or not that's true. And I think I don't know. I just feel like that ends up hurting maybe those Princess Diana performances, because it's such a well-known figure. Whereas like,
you yeah.
know, Lady Gaga playing Patrizia.
No one knows who she is.
No one knows who she is. And even honestly, like Tammy Faye Baker, people know who she is, but certainly not in the fashion they know Princess Diana. And I think you're able then to forgive more of the performance liberties that are taken in those films. Like, it just doesn't, Princess Diana is Princess Diana. I think you have a little of that maybe with Aretha Franklin too, but obviously like people have really responded to the Jennifer Hudson performance and as well. But I just wonder if that's like a little a Princess Diana specific thing that is going to hurt Kristen
Stewart. I think it's also different with performers like Lucille Ball and Aretha, because you sort of like idolize these people for their craft. Whereas like Princess Diana was just Princess Diana. Mm-hmm. Like you just like her as a person. Right. Like she married into this family and became super famous. And there is, I do agree, like there's probably more of an emotional attachment to something. I've never understood the fascination of the royal family.
Like, you got to watch The Crown, Joyce. They talk all about that.
I'm just like, I have friends who are obsessed with the royal family. Like when, you know, Kate was pregnant with George, like, what, like 9 years ago now, whatever. Obsessed. Like I guess are we saying that Elizabeth Debicki is not going to win the Emmy for seasons 5 and 6 of The Crown?
I wouldn't bet on it, honestly, but I guess we'll see how she does. I do love Elizabeth Debicki, but I would not bet on it based on how this has gone for Emma Corrin and Kristen Stewart. But I guess we'll see how it plays out.
It is interesting how, you know, with Emma Corrin, she didn't win any industry awards for that performance.
Correct.
And that could be the case with Kristen too. Like she's dominating the Regional Critics Awards. She has like 20 something. Right. You know, Neon really turning up the campaign since that snub. I have so many promoted tweets in my feed, just like touting her performance and her wins. But you know, do what you got to do.
Yeah. Got to get her in.
Yeah. So, but like, again, those are just critics awards, not the industry.
Right. Two things. Let's move on. I want to talk about a few things, just a grab bag of stuff, Joyce. Some of this we've talked about, some of this we didn't. I saw last night, you mentioned that Last Duel was on HBO Max. I saw last night that starting February 1st, Nightmare Alley is coming to HBO Max and perhaps Hulu as well. Mm-hmm. They must have figured out some kind of deal to get it out there. I know Searchlight movies go to Hulu usually, but there is a distribution deal for with Fox movies, obviously, to HBO Max. And they're just like, you know what? No one saw this in the theater. Let's put it up there on these streaming sites.
They've also been doing a lot of promo, like Bradley Cooper, Cate Blanchett. And we have Willem Dafoe hosting SNL next week.
So here's my question, yeah. Joyce. Does that mean we're going to see a renewed interest in Nightmare Alley, perhaps right at the right time as, you know, these people are considering what they're going to vote for Oscars? And does that put the movie back in Best Picture contention, which I think we both kind of like discounted it when we were talking earlier about the 10th nominee. We didn't even mention it. And then also maybe Cate Blanchett's SAG nomination was not an outlier. And actually she ends up getting in at the Oscars as well. I don't know if it matters as much. Maybe people who wanted to see it have already seen it. They obviously were pretty good. Fox Searchlight was getting screeners out. Like I had a digital screener pretty early. But I mean, having it available on the streaming platforms, I think like we've talked about with Netflix is a boost, because then you could just be like, oh, I want to watch this. I don't have to do anything on my computer or anything. I'm just going to put it on. I don't know. What do you think?
I still right now just see it getting a couple below the line nominations. I don't know about Best Picture. It just seems like there's no buzz for it really.
Right. And it also missed a lot of the was a big loser of the shortlists, right? Because it missed in a few key categories there, including score, which I thought was like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And it was not like it didn't really perform exceptionally well at the BAFTAs in the long list. Mm-hmm. But I guess I would argue maybe that's because people haven't actually seen it. And maybe if they do see it, that could be a renewed like late push. I'm not saying I agree with this. I'm just saying that would be my reason for thinking it could end up performing stronger than we expected.
So what would you see it getting?
Well, I could see getting in at the 10th Best Picture nomination and Kate and like production design and, you know, maybe Guillermo del Toro as like the fifth director if there's like an auteur spot. Right now I don't have him in, but like he's hung around.
I don't see him getting in there. I think Kate getting in at SAG was kind of like, wow. But you know, she also has Don't Look Up, and she was long listed at BAFTA for Don't Look Up. But they also, you can't be double long listed or nominated in acting anymore there after the double Margot Robbie nominations 2 years ago. So yeah, I don't know if she would just cancel herself out in that way then.
I kind of think that it could be a situation where I know it on like, I keep going back to like Wolf of Wall Street and Leo, but I feel like is Cate Blanchett.
Yeah, but that
like,
was a hit.
It was a hit. It was a major hit, like a massive movie that made a lot of money and people saw, but it's a different time. And I'm almost like, does Cate Blanchett get in like Leo did for best actor that year, just because she's Cate Blanchett? It's a performance that everyone likes, even if they don't like the movie. And she's kind of doing something different than everybody else in the category in her competition.
It's true.
And she also has Don't Look Up, which is a, like a feather in that cap, similar to how like I have Bradley Cooper in for supporting actor based on like his performance in Nightmare Alley and Licorice Pizza. I'm wondering if Cate Blanchett could get in for best supporting actress. She already has a SAG nomination. I don't know. I could only imagine that having it available on streaming will help though. So I guess we'll see.
I think that would also just probably be like having it on streaming early would just be a way to like offset the production costs as well. Since
certainly, I'd imagine it was very expensive. It would say it cost $1 billion because everything is handcrafted and bespoke and really nice, and no one saw it.
It's a very pretty. It's a gorgeously made film.
I will say I'll put it back. I'll put it on one day if it's on HBO Max. I'll roll it again. I've watched it twice. It's fine. Like I didn't.
It's very pretty. Like I don't think I have it in first anymore in production design, but after I saw it, I put it in first.
Great production design. I interviewed the production designer Joyce, so you know I have it in first there. Obviously, you know
how many people have you interviewed and immediately put in first?
So many. It's so embarrassing, honestly. Joyce, the other thing we've talked about. And a lot of people have been Encanto. So I finally watched it with my daughter this weekend. And then we watched it immediately again. And We Don't Talk About Bruno is an absolute banger. And as we
discussed, her new favorite song?
I don't know if it is her new favorite song. It's definitely our new favorite song, though, at least mine. And as we've discussed, not on the short list of best original song contenders because Disney seemingly did not submit it. They submitted a different one, which I already forgot. I forget.
Dos Origuitas.
Right, which is a more
circumspect. It's the emotional ballad. It plays at a pivotal point in the plot.
Yes,
of the movie.
Truly amazing self-own though for the Academy and for seemingly Disney. This We Don't Talk About Bruno is the biggest animated song since Let It Go. It's
bigger because it peaked at number 4 and Let It Go only peaked at 5. So it'll probably hit number 1 next week.
Truly a massive hit. Like everything.
I mean, I blame them, but I also don't blame them because neither the movie nor the soundtrack was out yet. Correct. When the submission deadline was November 1st, the movie came out November 24th, and I think the soundtrack came out the Friday before. So they would have had no idea that it would have been this huge hit. It is a banger, though.
It's a complete banger. And I understand.
In recent years, Disney has taken the route of just submitting one song per film to just like guarantee the nomination and not vote split. Understandable. So I understand them why they didn't submit that one. And it's the more fun song. So they went with the more serious song, and those tend to do well too and win more frequently than just like the fun song.
Sure.
But
you could say Let It Go.
If they had submitted We Don't Talk About Bruno, I'd be like, that's a wrap.
So completely would be a wrap. The thing is, though, it's not there. It can't get nominated. Hilarious. I assume they'll have to perform it at the show in some capacity, even as like an intro.
They should just open the show with it.
Maybe they will, honestly.
Like, remember when they opened with Queen?
Yeah, because you're talking about like a show that seemingly has lost its audience. Last year's show, no one really watched compared to like Oscars of the past. And now you have this massive hit with this like incredible reach inside the TikTok generation, I guess, Joyce, too. Like, people really like it.
It's huge. I'm not on TikTok, but it's huge on TikTok from what I hear.
The idea that you could have like promoted, hey, coming up next, we don't talk about Bruno. Don't tell your friends or whatever. I just feel like it's so hilarious that they can't even do that. But I assume it'll be on the show. But that said, now from an Encanto standpoint, I think I have it winning now best animated feature, just on the strength of we don't talk about Bruno, which is not even able to win.
Since it started blowing up, I was like, Encanto can win. Because that category is pretty open this year. We don't have, you know, like a Toy Story 3 or anything, you know, right, dominating.
So I think Encanto could win there. And then I almost have started to think maybe it could win song just by osmosis. I don't know.
The
Billie Eilish Bond theme is seemingly the front runner there. Everybody is like just chalking that up, even though I would defy anyone to sing one lyric from it.
You played 10 seconds of it for me.
Because it's a little bit of a dirge. A little quieter.
Still all I've heard of the song, two-year-old.
A little
song.
Quieter. And, you know, see, it's a fine Bond theme. I mean, and like we've seen lesser Bond themes, no offense. Like I think the Sam Smith Bond theme that won for Spectre was not the best.
That was just a name check, I guess you would say.
So, I mean, the Billie Eilish one is much better, I think, as a song, and I enjoyed it a lot more. But I'm just like, I wonder if Encanto could win there, just even though it's the wrong song.
I think it can't. So the good thing is like Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote all the songs for the movie. So it's not like it has a different songwriter for both songs. So it's like, I don't know if people actually do this, but I can see the logic of, I really love We Don't Talk About Bruno. It's not here, but this other song is here, Dos Uruguitas, which is also a good song.
Beautiful song. It really is a great song.
Yeah. Written by the same person who would EGOT if he wins.
The other thing is, it would cap off a year. I mean,
He had a great year.
Directed Tick, Tick, Boom, and it was excellent and like way better than I think people thought. Could get Andrew Garfield an Oscar. Certainly is going to be a strong Oscar player, or at least like we figure.
It's definitely more of an Oscar player now than I think anyone anticipated before it opened.
Had In the Heights, which was a really good movie that people have forgotten about, but was excellent and like really fun. And I greatly enjoyed it. Vivo, I think, was a Sony animated movie that went to Netflix. Mm-hmm. And then Encanto at the end of the year here, which is now like the most popular Disney movie in a very long time, I would argue, just based on its box office. And then obviously now it's available on Disney Plus and people are watching at home like we did this weekend. Yeah, so getting him an Oscar this year would really, I think, be a cap in, you know, people like celebrating Lin-Manuel Miranda if he could win for best song, even if it's not the biggest hit song. I could see that happening for sure. Do you have Encanto getting anywhere else? I have it in Score also because it was shortlisted in Score.
Yeah, I have a Score. I really like the Score. I talked to the composer.
Oh yeah.
Jeremy Franco, do you have a winning? And I had Encanto in before I talked to her. So
wow. Look at that. You're not a hack like me. I would have her at the top now. I'd be like, let's go.
Encanto. But you know, we did talk about her Bruno score, the whole sequence when Mirabel goes into Bruno's tower and everything, which is also incredible piece of music. So
it's great. That means it's gonna get three nominations probably. And I think it could win song, even with the wrong song. Arguably
the wrong song.
It's not the wrong, it's just not Bruno. It's just not Bruno.
I don't even think it's like Surface Pressure is also doing well. Like that's probably number two song.
Right. That's a great song too. Yeah. If you're watching this and are like, what are these two adults talking about?
Just
go watch it. It's on Disney Plus right now. It's really great. It's of the new age of Disney animated movies where there's really no villain. So that's kind of interesting. And there's like conflict.
There's a lot of magic.
A lot of magic, incredible bangers. Like every song is awesome. It's a good movie. It was really fun. And I'm excited.
What I think is interesting about the whole song situation though, too, is like, yes. So Bruno was not submitted for the Oscars. We just have to deal with it now, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, there's like, what, like 60 like regional critics awards. Some of these groups have song categories. And what I've noticed is I think most of them award No Time to Die, but like the ones who like announced nominees, I don't think any of them are nominating Bruno, like correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of them is just like Dos Uruguitas. And it's like, why are you following that? Like you can nominate whatever you want from that movie.
It's so funny. I would say the other thing with No Time to Die, not to pile on, because again, we talked yesterday, I think, about Ann Thompson was suggesting it could be another 10th number 10 best picture nominee, right? No Time to Die, because it's good. It showed in a lot of
shows. Well, that's what you were thinking before you saw No Way Home.
Correct. So it's not a totally outlandish. I think the other problem with No Time to Die is that it was kind of like a placeholder winner just based on the category. While there is a lot of talent and A-list people in the category, no one was expecting like the Beyonce song to win or like the Jay-Z song to win, or even like the Don't Look Up song to win from Nicholas Britell. So it was like, obviously it's going to be No Time to Die because like Bond songs, at least in recent history, have won. But I do think now that Encanto is like really is peaking at the right time, I think we'll start to see a slower, you know, turn towards Los Orguitas.
Yeah. I'm just like looking at all the shortlisted songs and it's like none of these are huge hits or anything.
No.
So there's a lot of famous people here.
Right. Right now, according to our odds, you have No Time to Die still in first, King Richard, then Encanto, then Just Look Up from Don't Look Up, and then the Van Morrison track from Belfast, which, like I said, I'm just for the pure chaos of it, I'm really pulling for that nomination to see how.
Well, you know, Van Morrison would not be performing on the show, so.
Well, he wouldn't be allowed in, probably.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
they'll save some time there.
Yeah, maybe they'll do a Zoom of him, though. You know, you never know. fingers crossed that happens. But I think we're only going to see, I don't know, I think those Orguitas, how do you say it, Joyce? I'm just killing
Orguitas. It's a little caterpillars, baby caterpillars, two baby caterpillars.
Yeah. I just love the movie. I think the animation is really great. I think I like Luca a little more because I like, I'm such a sucker and I really cry at Luca all the time. So this is my personal preference and maybe be Luca.
Was there a movie last year that you did not cry at?
No, honestly, I can't even think of one. I don't even know. Maybe Dune, but I love Dune, but it didn't make me cry at least.
I think, did I say this to you the other day where I was like, they should have just swapped the release dates for Luca and Encanto, because then we would have known this entire time that Bruno.
I'm talking about Bruno is like the song. Luca's great. It's a good animated category. We've talked about that. I think there's a lot of strong.
Yeah, there's just no obvious front runner.
No, that's why I think Encanto is going to win, because it has the song. I mean, maybe we're wrong, but it just feels like that'll help. Joyce, anything else here before we wrap up?
I guess, you know, this is our a quiet week.
Yes.
And then next week, there's a lot of stuff going down on the next same day. Stuff,
one of the things I wanted to say was if you made it this far, our Gold Derby Film Award nominees are going to be announced next week, I believe. So you should vote now if you're watching this.
These are not Oscar predictions. This is what you want to be nominated.
That's right. So yes. If you want Encanto to be nominated for Best Picture, then vote for it.
Go for it.
Go for it. Whatever you want. And then also, like you said, next week we have PGA Award nominees, right?
We have PGA, DGA, and WGA.
All on the same day.
On the same day as Oscar voting starts.
Which is Thursday, January 27th. So yes. we'll do a Thursday. Maybe we'll do a Thursday evening again, Joyce.
A nighttime after dark.
Must-see TV.
Gonna get wild.
We'll bring it back. We'll bring back must-see TV for another a night. But this is fun. We'll talk to you later. Bye, Joyce.
Bye.
For all things Hollywood competition and award season, head to goldderby.com. Follow us on social media @goldderby.